private landowners want to rezone and then develop 1,000 acres on Cumberland Island. Cumberland is the largest barrier island off Georgia's coast, and it's the site of a national seashore. It's been relatively safe from development for decades. Environmental protection groups are fighting those plans. The nonprofit St. Mary's Earth Keepers filed an appeal to stop the variance to permit development. Alex Kearns is the director of St. Mary's and joins me now. Welcome, Alex.
Good morning.
Also with us is Mark Woods, a columnist with the Florida Times Union. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
And Emily Jones as well, familiar to GPB listeners, many of them anyway, a host and reporter in our Savannah Bureau. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Celeste.
Emily, let's start with you. Can you give us a quick rundown about what this conflict is about?
Yeah, so this all started late last year when one of the private landowners on Cumberland wanted to subdivide their 88-acre tract of land. So it starts with these 88 acres, not the 1,000 acres that you mentioned. And basically, they said, you know, they wanted to build some houses, up to 10, they said. And in order to do that, they needed a variance actually to pave a road, because in order to have a subdivided lot in Camden County, you have to have a paved road. There are no paved roads on Cumberland. So they sought a variance for that. Seems like a simple thing, but of course, you know, it sounds a lot like, oh, wait, we're developing Cumberland, and this is what, you know, what scared a lot of people, that this could be a slippery slope. And so it got approved by the county, but, you know, Earthkeeper and a lot of other environmental groups and, you know, fans of Cumberland, people who love to go to Cumberland, really spoke out against this, filed appeals, tried to fight it. And then more recently, what's happened is after the appeal to that variance decision got delayed a couple of times, they actually decided to take a step back and try to negotiate between the various groups involved. And then that's where all of the 1,000 acres of private land come in, because one of the things that's come out of these negotiations that are going on now to try to kind of avoid this issue altogether is a proposal to rezone all of those 1,000 acres in a way that they wouldn't need to go through this, you know, variances and appeals every single time they might want to build a house.
I did the math, and I was a music major, so the math may be incorrect, but 1,000 acres, just to give people an idea, is equal to more than 750 football fields all strung together. So, Alex, if anybody goes to Google Images and looks at pictures of Cumberland, they could understand the concern. The national government, the National Park Service, describes it as pristine maritime forests, undeveloped beaches, wide marshes, whisper the stories of both man and nature. What lives on Cumberland Island? I'm talking about wildlife. What is it that we're so worried about?
Well, to me, one of the primary concerns, of course, is the loggerhead sea turtles. Cumberland Island is absolutely pivotal in terms of nesting. Audubon called Cumberland Island crucial to migratory flight patterns for just, you know, myriad of birds. The island is host to extraordinary ecosystems. That's why it is a United Nations Biosphere Reserve. This doesn't just belong to Georgia. It's a national state park, and it's an international treasure. The purpose statement of Cumberland Island is, and I quote, "Cumberland Island National Seashore maintains the primitive, undeveloped character of one of the largest and most ecologically diverse barrier islands on the Atlantic coast." That's the value of Cumberland Island.
And you mentioned loggerhead sea turtles first. Just a reminder, they're quite endangered. So then let's go to you, Mark Woods, columnist. What is your dog in this race? Why do you care about the fight over Cumberland Island?
Well, I care about national parks and beautiful places like this, and we don't have many spots like this in America. I mean, you have to picture that this is this large barrier island with 17 miles of beach. I mean, one of my favorite stats is the beach is so long that the curvature of the earth, if you're standing in the middle of it, you can't see from end to end of this beach. And we've developed, you know, most of the eastern seaboard. There's just not many places in America like this. If you go to the Northwest, there's Olympic National Park has miles of wilderness of beach. But on the East Coast,
we've developed most of our barrier islands. So this, you know, can't we preserve one and leave it as it is? And that was the goal of the 1972, the enacting legislation to create this place, is to create a place that would be permanently preserved in its permanent state. That's the wording of the enacting legislation.
And Emily, go ahead.
Sorry, I think, too, that it's important to mention the 1,000 acres that we're talking about. There's been some misinformation going around that they are, you know, either scattered all over the island or they're in the north end. They're not. This is right in the heart of the island. Anyone who's been to Cumberland Island, quite often you get off at Sea Camp. From Sea Camp, you could throw a rock and hit that initial property that was in question, the Lumar property. The 1,000 acres go up there from marsh to high tide mark. As I said, it's the heart of the island.
Now, Emily, Congress, as Mark was alluding to, Congress set aside nearly 10,000 acres as a designated wilderness. These 1,000 acres that we're talking about, how did they come to be in private hands?
Well, that actually dates back to when Cumberland became a national seashore. You know, going back even before that, this was, like so many of Georgia's barrier islands, a home to some of, you know, America's big wealthy industrialist families. You know, the Carnegies owned a lot of Cumberland Island and some other private landowners as well. And so when they came up with this agreement to preserve the island in 1972, designate it as this national seashore, they sort of negotiated these agreements whereby the private landowners could keep their private land. And, you know, the agreements vary by landowner. But in general, the idea is, you know, OK, you can continue to live here on your land, in your house, you know, while you're still there, living there, essentially. And then there are some, of course, where there isn't any development, where they didn't have anything built. And that is part of what's sort of up for question, up for debate, is, you know, can these undeveloped portions of private land be now developed that weren't before?
I'm speaking with Alex Kearns. You just heard the voice of GPB Savannah reporter and host Emily Jones. I'm also speaking with Alex Kearns, director of the environmental activism group St. Mary's Earthkeepers, and Florida Times Union columnist Mark Words. We're talking about a proposed development on Cumberland Island, which would cover 1,000 acres, all included, and the debate over that. We have a tweet here from somebody called J.D. Felt / Shaggy Rogers, who said there should not be any more development on Cumberland Island. It serves as a perfect example of our southern history and beauty. But Alex, you hear in there shouldn't be any more development. There is some development on Cumberland Island. You can make camping reservations. You can go stay at the hotel. Would this new development actually be that much more of a threat?
Well, I think that a lot of the question that comes into play is, if the county does rezone it, what level of density are they talking about? If, for example, you were talking about one housing unit per every 2 acres, you're talking about 400 houses. That is a considerable community. And, you know, particularly given the location of the 1,000 acres, the existing houses on the island, most of them are on the north end. And most of the 60,000 visitors per year, don't go to the north end unless they do the land and legacy tour. So they do have that wilderness experience. And that is absolutely essential, not just for the human psyche, but of course, for the town of St. Mary's that relies on Cumberland Island, all of its branding is Cumberland Island. We're the gateway to Cumberland Island. According to National Park Service estimates, park visitors spent an estimated $2.5 million in local gateway regions during 2015. If the visitor experience is compromised, and surely it would be if there was considerable development on the island, then it's a domino effect. The economy of St. Mary's itself would be compromised. Our historic hotel and bed and breakfast, one of them estimates 90% of its occupancy is due to visitors who are seeking that spiritual, as Sam Candler, island landowner, calls it, holy experience on the island. it would be very hard to feel that in the presence of chainsaws and bulldozers and construction.
And, you know, fair enough. In order to build the homes there, that means you also have to put in water pipelines and electricity and all of those other things. But, Mark, there's also an argument here that if land is privately owned, you shouldn't have to consider someone else's holy or spiritual experience, right? I mean, to a certain extent, there is an even stronger movement in recent days that if you own property, you should be allowed to do with it what you want. How do you answer that?
Right. That's obviously the tug of war here. But you think about this. This land was purchased in 1998. Cumberland Island was established in 1972. Someone bought land inside a national park and now wants to build on it. Think about if that happened. There's inholdings, that's what these called, privately owned land in national parks all over the country. A lot of them predate the national park. This one, the land was already owned before that, but the current owner bought it after the national park was created and now wants to build on it. I think if that were happening in Yellowstone, in Yosemite, in many other national parks around the country, there would be outrage. And there should be outrage about it potentially happening with 1,000 acres on Cumberland Island.
And Emily, there is outrage, is there not?
There is, yes. Yes, I mean, there's a great deal of outrage about it. I mean, you know, the Camden County has been flooded with calls from people objecting to this, especially after the Alt National Park Service Facebook page, you know, posted something about this. I think it was last month when that happened, and all of a sudden the county was flooded with calls. People have been writing in letters to the editor, to our newspaper here in Savannah, to the Brunswick News, I'm sure Florida Times Union as well. I mean, people are really fired up about this because, as both of you have mentioned, I mean, people care a lot about Cumberland Island and they love to go out there and camp and kayak and you know, just enjoy the nature that's out there. So, yeah, I mean, there is a great deal of outrage about this idea.
So who holds the power, Emily? Who makes this decision and when will it happen?
Well, that sort of depends on what happens it totally depends, actually, on what happens in the negotiations that I mentioned, which is, again, where this idea of rezoning all of the 1,000 acres comes from. And the county has said that if they reach an agreement by June 1st, then the understanding, again, from the county is that LUMAR, this landholder of those original 88 acres that started this whole thing, that they're going to withdraw their request and, you know, the county will look at changing the zoning ordinance instead. And if they don't reach a deal by that June 1st, then they're going to move ahead with hearing the appeal on, again, that original variance about the original tract of land.
Alex, is there an amount of development that you would feel comfortable with, a number of homes that you feel they could build without endangering the wildlife?
It's a difficult question. I serve at the pleasure of my board, and certainly we made the decision very early on that we could not take a stance that would fly in the face of the enabling legislation of the island. So there is no level of development that we would be comfortable with. But some environmental organizations are working with the county to offer suggestions in terms of kind of a feeling of, well, if you are going to go ahead and rezone it, can we at least minimize some of the damage by, you know, between setbacks or height restrictions, light restrictions during loggerhead mating season, things of this nature. But as far as the earth keepers are concerned, no, the whole purpose of the island was that it was to revert to its primitive state in time. And, you know, we adhere to that.
Mark, what would you say on that topic? Is this a kind of a no gray area issue in which the private landowners just have to leave it alone?
Well, I guess here's why I find it troubling. One of the things that makes Cumberland Island unique is the trajectory it's been on for 45 years. 5 years ago, I spent a year sabbatical traveling to national parks and working on this project all over the country, trying to look into the future. And Cumberland Island has a unique future because it has been on this path to becoming more wild. Most places are becoming less wild. Piece by piece of these retained rights, these former homeowners that we mentioned earlier, are coming into possession by the national park, and that has been the plan. So this has been on this trajectory where you can picture in the future it would be more wild than it is today. This reverses that trend. After 45 years of peace, more piece by piece becoming a part of the national park, all of a sudden we're going to go the opposite direction. So I don't know if there's a, you know, I was uncomfortable when it was 88 acres in the heart of the island, but the thought of 1,000 acres with homes all over it is even much, much more troubling. I don't know what, I don't know what, that I have a specific number on what would be acceptable.
And we have another tweet from J.D. Felt, who says, eagerly awaiting to hear what citizens could do to get involved. We're out of time, but we will post that on our Facebook page, J.D. Felt, so you can find out there. We've been speaking...
Could I, if I may?
No, we don't actually have any time. That is St. Mary's Earthkeepers Director Alex Kearns. Emily Jones is a reporter and host at GPB Savannah, and Florida Times Union columnist Mark Woods. Thanks so much to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.